Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 34 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I am your returning host, Chris Lipscomb. Sorry, I was up in London last week. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm joined, as per normal, by Managing Director for Oscar Mike Media and Editor-in-Chief of GMA-nominated website, thesixactors.com, Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
Hello.
And we're also joined, as per normal, by the rather lovely Lewis Gaston. Say hello, Lewis.
Hello, Lewis.
Well done. You can say your own name. Congratulations.
You've got to have a shush on the end, Lewis.
Fair enough. Are you back at school yet?
No, I'll go back Monday.
All right. Are you not looking forward to it?
For certain reasons, I might not be going back when everyone else goes back, so.
Oh.
But yeah, no, it should be good.
Is the court case still pending?
Yeah. That's the one. But yeah, no, it should be good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, fair enough. Let's kick some things off with some news. George Lucas is carrying on with his insistence on tweaking the Star Wars films before they're released on Blu-ray. Who cares? They're his movies, not yours. Don't buy them if you don't want those versions. That would be my advice.
Yeah, but you can't buy the other versions. He's not giving you the choice.
Just don't buy Star
Wars. If he gives you the choice, he could muck about with them all he wants. But the fact is, he's ruining a legacy.
Is there anyone left who doesn't have a version of Star Wars? You've got the DVD. Just watch the DVDs and be happy.
The DVDs are the wrong version too.
Yes.
Well, then just don't watch Star Wars.
Because George Lucas is a cock. He is a massive cock. This angers me profusely. I'm going to try and be reserved in my sentiment. I don't understand it. I can't get my head around why he keeps constantly tweaking these things. And I don't understand. Basically, the only thing I can attribute it to is that George Lucas is too stubborn to realise when he's wrong. Because he has made tweaks to the Star Wars films, to the original trilogy, since the special edition re-releases, and he refuses to go back on them, even though the overwhelming public response is to fix them. And now these latest things for the Blu-rays, what he could have done when he was putting these movies onto a Blu-ray was give you the original theatrical release and give you his constantly fucking updated one. Even if he wanted to, most Blu-ray players have internet connections, so he could have, if he'd wanted to, allowed you to connect to the internet and download new scenes every fucking week as he applies little tweaks to them, if he'd wanted to. But his refusal to put the proper versions of the movies onto a disc that has plenty of space for them is just astonishing. It's just unbelievable that they're not doing that. And I was ready to pre-order these, even when I thought that they were going to be just the special editions with the stupid fucking extra Jabba scenes and Greedo shooting first and all that shit. I was prepared to pre-order the Blu-rays just because I would like them on Blu-ray, but there's not a chance I'm ordering them now. I won't buy these movies.
Well, fair enough. Then don't be angry. You're not spending any money. This is
good. But it's a missed opportunity. He could have given back Star Wars fans what they had and what they remembered, and he has missed the opportunity to do that. But it's basically insult to injury. It's more shit piled on top of the people that put him where he is. Mm. It's just so infuriating that he made these brilliant things 30 years ago and has spent every year since then trying to make them worse.
Well, yeah, but presumably he doesn't think he's making them worse.
No, well, that's what I mean. He doesn't think that he's making them worse. He insists that he's right in the face of everybody else telling him that he's wrong.
Mm. But people tell us we're wrong about the podcast, but we ignore them.
It's slightly different.
Yeah, I think there's probably more fans of Star Wars than there are the podcasts.
No, I know, but it's the same principle. People, you don't necessarily want to just give in to pressure. You want to do what you want to do, and ultimately they're his films.
Yeah, but if it was an overwhelming pressure for the good of the podcast, you'd have to listen, regardless of your own beliefs or whatever.
But I think if it was overwhelming pressure, if it was one or two people saying, oh, Jesus, you know, I really didn't like what you did with those Star Wars movies, then George Lucas could say, well, yeah, but, you know, there are millions of people that are still enjoying them and actually appreciate the fact that we turned Han Solo into a pussy.
Mm.
And now they've... might be, those clips might be fake, I suppose, but now there's talk that they've put added dialogue to Darth Vader's big scene at the end of Return of the Jedi. Mm. Which, you know, if it was just one or two people saying that that's a stupid thing to do, then you could understand him saying, well, actually, you know, I'm kind of a professional. I think I might know more about these movies that I made than you do, which would be fair enough. But it seems to be the overwhelm, and you don't know. I mean, it might not be, it might just be one of those things that's amplified by the internet. But it seems to be overwhelming that fans of the proper Star Wars movies really don't like anything that he's done since about 1996.
Yeah, and that would be perfectly valid, except every time he puts the films out, they sell again. It's giving him the proof that he's doing the right thing. If he keeps putting these tweaks in and releases a new version, and the new version sells, and he's clearly going, okay, well, although people complained, I still sold X million copies of it.
They sold because there was no other version of them out there. So when it came to DVD, people would have loved the original theatrical versions, but there was no other versions available. So if you want to be able to watch Star Wars on DVD, the only versions you could get were the new tweaked crappy ones. And it's going to be the same with Blu-ray. If you want to see it in HD, the only option you've got is to buy the new fiddled with version.
Yeah, and I see that's true, but I say that from his perspective, he's going, well, people are still buying these versions even though they're tweaked.
But they've got no choice. Of course, they're going to, if they want to see Star Wars in HD, they've got no choice but to buy Blu-ray. It's not like he's releasing original Blu-ray and then tweaked Blu-ray, because if he did that, the overwhelming sales figures would be for the original Blu-ray.
Well, yeah, no,
there's no choice involved. So it completely negates your point, because there is no choice.
Well, no, there's the choice not to watch Star Wars. That's always an option.
That's not an option.
That's perfectly an option. It's boycotting it.
People don't necessarily want to boycott one. Like, I'm not a massive... I like the original trilogy. I'm not a massive Star Wars fan. But Peter, for example, is obviously a massive fan. So he's not being... So why rob him of, or any fan, of the chance to see a film that they love? Just because you're stubborn and want to make everything CGI. That's what's wrong, is the fact that there's no choice involved.
I think it's the fact that he had an opportunity to give the fans what they have been saying that they wanted. He had an opportunity to give people the chance to show what they wanted at the checkout. Whereas now the only option you have is either the versions that he's been pricking about with, or nothing at all.
Like if they took a Batman, for example, or the comic Batman, in a direction that you completely abhorred,
I just wouldn't buy Batman. That happens in comic books all the time.
Yeah, but would you then appreciate the fact that you've now been robbed of your favourite character? Or your favourite sort of material to read?
Well, yeah, but I would, but I'd still not buy it. Because this literally happens in comic books all the time. This is why creative teams get taken off comic books. And I know you can't do that with Star Wars, but it happens. People, if DC release a Batman run and suddenly the sales plummet like 50%, people go, DC go, okay, get that creative team the hell off Batman, and he puts someone else on it.
Yeah, but Lucas won't do that because he makes enough money from it. And like I say, the fact that he's not giving people the choice will leave fans of Star Wars the only option to buy the Blu-ray if they want to see it in HD.
Well, I mean,
so it's going to sell.
The way it's left me, I'm a massive Star Wars fan, and the way it's left me is that I now resent George Lucas, and he created something which, I know it sounds really geeky and nerdy, but Star Wars has meant an awful lot to me through the course of my life. It's been with me for my whole life, and it has meant an awful lot to me, and he has now turned that into something which, when I think about it, it makes me angry rather than it used to make me happy. And I know that it's his property and he can do what he wants with it. And I know that I'm sure that he feels justified doing what he's doing. But it's making me as a Star Wars fan resent the thing that I used to love. And that's an attitude that I've seen an awful lot. in relation to these Blu-ray tweaks. People that used to love the franchise now feeling like they can no longer connect with it. And I think that that's for better or worse, whether it's, you know, whether he's justified in doing it or not. I think that that's a real shame.
Well, I think that's fine. I just...
I mean, you are right. At the end of the day, it's his property and he can do whatever that he wants with it. It's just the fact that when you've got something that has got such a massive following and is earning... So if, let's for example say you created a new comic book that had millions of fans and earned you an absolute fortune and a way of life that saw you having no problems whatsoever, there would almost be an obligation there to listen to the people that have, that like Peter said, have put you in that position. I mean, I don't know how rich he is, but he's beyond minted. And part of me would just think, you know what, I wouldn't have, no one believed in Star Wars when he started first making them. So it's down to the fans that he's got to where he is. So you turn around and say, all right, I'm listening. You got me where I am. I owe it to you.
I suppose, I mean, it's true, but his editing is the thing that, like, his vision is what got him the fans. It's all a chicken and egg kind of thing. You see what I mean? He has
yeah,
fans.
No, yeah, absolutely. That's, for me though, that's one of the tragedies of the situation, is that he made these things and they were so brilliant. And since then, he's not been able to do anything right. In the eyes, in my opinion. You know, it all seems to have gone wrong, like a production meeting for the scriptwriting halfway through Return of the Jedi, where George Lucas sat down and went, tell you what, lads, what about dancing teddy bears? And since that point, it's all gone rapidly downhill.
Yeah, I like Ewoks.
Yeah, I liked Ewoks too when I was a child. And
no, I
now
still like,
I kind
still
of
like
look
Ewoks
at them and think, well, maybe they don't quite fit into that universe as well as they could have done.
No, I still quite like Ewoks.
And they are still 100 times better than anything in the prequel films.
No, the prequel films have got pretty good battles in, and the robots are quite cool.
Oh, the robots are fucking awful.
No, I like the ones that curl up into balls and then...
The ones that walk around like Buck Rogers going biddy biddy.
Yeah.
I like the ones that the shield droids, whatever they are, that curl up into a ball and roll towards you and then spring
battle
out.
Battle droids.
Yeah, they were cool. I like them.
The problem was, even back then for the prequels, I don't think the CGI was to the point, or to the technological point where he needed them to be.
No,
because they still look pretty crap.
Yeah, that's true.
And
I mean, it's
all small things like things like the droids, the robots in the prequel trilogy, having guns. They don't have guns on their arms. They just carry guns so that when they get killed, humans can use their guns. That's a really stupid thing. They should just have gun arms. And having to communicate in English to each other instead of just beaming a signal to each other in wireless. Little True. Things that just haven't been thought out properly and have made the experience of those movies feel a little bit cheap.
Although robots talking English makes sense because it means they can work on the battlefield with humans.
But there are no humans on the battlefield.
Are they not? I don't know. I didn't watch the third one or whatever.
There's like tank commanders and stuff.
Mm.
Attack commanders. But orders can be issued digitally. But I don't know. Nothing seems to have gone right with the Star Wars. And it's now at a point where I'm just about ready to give up on it. And The Empire Strikes Back is probably my favourite movie of all time. And the trilogy has meant so... You know, I'm surrounded by Star Wars shit. Because it's just something that I've always loved my whole life. And one thing after another just turns you against it.
I don't know. I just don't... There's nothing I feel that... There's nothing I feel that passionately about that I'd feel genuinely robbed if someone took it away, like if someone kept ruining it, or I'd just accept it, I guess.
There's nothing I can do about it, so
but I mean,
that's
like
all I can do.
Like with comics, they fuck shit up all the time and they kind of accept it and go, oh, that's fair enough, I just won't read that then. And happens to X-Men like every other fucking week.
I think it's very difficult to draw any sort of analogy, but for it, like it's like somebody going back to, it's difficult with comics because they're so serialized.
Mm.
But for example, like Watchmen, something that wasn't particularly serialized, something that stands alone as its own sort of book. If somebody went back to that and airbrushed all the Andy Nixon stuff out of it, it would be really weird.
Yeah, it would, but I'd just have Watchmen. That'd be fine. The problem is with this is because technology keeps evolving and people feel they keep having to buy the newer and newer versions of it.
Yeah, it's if I could implore George Lucas to do anything, it would be release the version that you have planned, ready to go, and release the original theatrical releases on Blu-ray next to them on the shelf and see which one sells the best. And then shut the fuck up and leave those movies alone.
The best thing, what would you do if the tweet version sold more though?
I would despair, but I would probably accept it. It's going to be interesting because I think in America they're selling the box set of the 6 movies, but they're also selling individual box sets of the 2 trilogies separately.
Oh yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see the sales return figures for those.
Yeah,
see because what happens. My expectation is that the original trilogy will sell massively and the prequels won't sell quite so well.
I think I'm just used to having stuff I like fucked up. I mean, I liked Star Trek more than Star Wars, and I'm used to having Star Trek fucked up. It happened so often and perpetually.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, but just driving that, Star Trek into a fucking hole.
Yeah, but that was fucked up by new standalone films.
Well, no,
Star Wars is being fucked up by it's the only sort of entertainment thing that I can think of that has been revisited as many times as it has, with the original thing being tweaked so often.
Like, yeah, and not
fair enough,
presented
Star
as an
Trek
option.
Films are shit, but they're new stories in the continuation of the sort of saga. Whereas Star Wars is just being tweaked over and over and over again of the same material to a point where you've got no choice but to buy the shit.
I think it's just the lack of an option that winds me up. It's like the, for example, Blade Runner, the director's cut of Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Is terrible because of the stuff that is excluded and the stuff which is made very, very obvious.
The thing that makes me laugh about that is if you watch the director's cut at the beginning, like Ridley Scott introduces it as they do with most things, sort of that type of thing. And he says there, he says, this isn't the director's cut. He says, my cut was the theatrical release.
Yeah.
Which really? I find bizarre. Yeah. That's not his perfect version is the one that was released in the cinemas originally.
Wasn't there a thing didn't he didn't like the voiceover though, did he? The narration bits.
I'm not too sure, I don't know.
There was something about the voiceover, and then when they released the director's cut, they basically changed the ending and made it really obvious.
I'll tell you what,
That's okay. You can have, I mean, movies get director's cuts all the time, but they're always presented as an option.
Yeah, that's true. I'll tell you what, though, they did, Radio 4 just did a serialized version of, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? And right. I listened to that, and Blade Runner is shit. That's so much better than Blade Runner. Do Androids Dream of Electric, like, Blade Runner is a very poor interpretation of that book.
It's not really a proper interpretation, no, though, is it?
It's based in the same world, but the story in Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep is so much better and so much more evocative and really depressing. Way more depressing than Blade Runner is. Like, all the stuff about electric animals and that kind of stuff, which doesn't really get touched upon in Blade Runner, is just so, like, the fact that almost every species is extinct. And it's brilliant because you get all these little moments of hope for Deckard, and then he gets them ripped away as you go through, and it is fucking bleak. But it's much better than Blade Runner, was I actually thought. And I quite like Blade Runner, but I don't know if I want to watch, but I might go and the graphic novel version of the book recently.
The book's really good. Have you read the book? Or?
No, I've only listened to the version they did on Radio 4, but I'm going to get that, and I'm going to get the graphic novel version as well, because the graphic novel version, which was nice, I like the fact they did this, is, although it's graphic novel, it's the full text from the book is used in the graphic novel, which is pretty, like, no editing or anything. They've just taken the full text and just put it to pictures, which I thought was, that sounds really good.
That would be really good.
I wish people would interpret stuff like that more. Which is, it's much harder to interpret stuff like that though, without making any changes.
It's going
to
be one big book.
Yeah, but it's, I think it's much harder to interpret stuff like that without any changes, you know. I was looking up actually. I think it's like 6 or 7 volumes is the graphic novel. Oh. It's pretty big. I think I was looking up on Amazon. There was a lot.
I haven't seen Blade Runner in years.
Yeah, it's all right. I don't know. I still like it, but it's, I don't think I enjoyed it as much as I did on the first watch.
I used to be a big fan of Blade Runner and watched it several times, but the last time I watched it was with my wife and we only got halfway through it and she didn't like it at all.
Mm.
So I'm not been able to watch it since then. I have to wait until she goes out some night.
Blade Runner is also the film I've fallen asleep to the most times.
It's really slow-paced and downbeat, isn't it?
It's slow-paced, it's really long, it's not actually that long, it just feels really long. And but for some reason, every time I watched it, the first like 5 times I watched it, I always started watching it about 4 a.m. So I always fell asleep. Just because I used to go to and watch a load of films around mates' houses and stuff, and Blade Runner was like always the last one, and then it got to 4 a.m. and just everyone was like asleep on sofas. Until very recently, I never actually got all the way through that film. But just don't enjoy it as much as I did the first. I've seen it twice all the way through now, and the second time I didn't enjoy it as much as the first time. And yeah, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep is much better. Much, much better.
I haven't read that in a long time either, though.
I need to, I really want to read it now, but the rate, if anyone wants, by the time this goes out, the Radio 4 version should still be on iPlayer, but you'll have to be quick because they'll start pulling episodes off. But if it's still up there, go listen to it. It's really good, actually. It's really well done. And deeply depressing. But in a it depressing in a brilliant way, in just it's so evocative. Yes. Anyway, moving on from Star Wars and George Lucas and Blade Runner. 3DS is getting NES games. There's not very much we can say about this, just it's getting them.
Hooray, right. It's got them today.
Yay!
Today being Thursday, they went live on the store.
Is there anything else to say about that?
Well, not really. Nintendo being Nintendo has made them very awkward to get to.
You must dig through 10 menus and then answer a riddle.
Yeah, you have to load up the eShop and then you have to go to settings and then you have to go to previously downloaded titles and then you have to scroll to the bottom of the list because they haven't put them in at the top of the list to make them convenient.
Mm.
They've gone underneath everything that you've already downloaded.
Yeah.
So you have to scroll down to the individual games and tap on them and then tap on them again to say that you want to download them. And then it goes to the little downloading animation screen until they're finished downloading.
So you have
and
to
then
do
it tells
one
you
at
that they've
time.
Downloaded. And you okay that message that the game's finished downloading, and it takes you back to the home screen.
Genius.
So then to get the second game, you have to go back into settings and back into the previously downloaded and all that shit.
Okay, and can you even buy them actually on the 3DS, or do you have to buy them on your Wii and then download them again?
Oh, no, you could buy them on the 3DS. They're not for sale.
Oh, okay.
But you can buy stuff through the eShop on the 3DS, but these games aren't for sale. These are just the Ambassador Program things.
Oh, the Ambassador Program ones. Okay.
Yeah, for the early adopters.
That is mental.
They also had a thing on the store, or actually not on the store, on the previously downloaded list that was a certificate for being an ambassador.
Yeah.
It was the Nintendo 3DS Ambassador Certificate. And I thought, oh, what's that? And downloaded it. It turns out it's a 4-minute long video of a still screen with like a certificate image on it. And a message scrolling along the bottom in several different languages.
Okay. Let's move on because I'm scared now. Lots of Vita and PS3 games at Tokyo Game Show. Yay.
Yay. 18 unannounced.
18 unannounced Vita games. Yeah.
But 18 unannounced Vita games and only 3 unannounced PlayStation 3 games.
Yeah. Well, 18 unannounced Vita games is hardly shocking, though, is it?
I don't know. That's quite a good number.
No, yeah, it's a lot, even for a new.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
I mean
that's
a good number.
Like
it's a good number for a new console, but it doesn't. But they're not saying because they're unannounced. Like, it might just be loads of mini game collections or ports or whatever.
Yeah, it could be. You don't know. But it's nice to see them putting stuff out, putting something out on that console, no matter what it is.
Please buy this instead of an iPhone, volumes 1 to 5. We know it's more than 59p, but buy it anyway. Vita games like that is what I'm thinking, you know?
Yeah. That's what the Vita needs. Vita needs all the little cheap throwaway games. Yeah.
Do you really want to buy this? Do you really want to play Uncharted on the go? Really? Yeah, games like that.
Yeah. See, I don't want Uncharted on the Vita. But then I won't be playing the Vita on the go either. I'll be playing it like on the sofa.
But still, Uncharted's kind of like a big cinematic game, and it's a tiny screen.
Yeah. True enough. Well, maybe I'll get some of those weird Sony 3D glasses things.
Those look awesome.
VR headset.
Yes. It's a Virtual Boy.
I'll plug my Vita into that.
Sony made the Virtual Boy.
750-inch screen.
Sony made the Virtual Boy again. They made it a reality.
Yeah, that's really odd, isn't it? That's going on sale in Japan this November.
Yeah. And it is literally...
A couple of months away, they're putting a big wraparound headset screen thing on sale.
Yep.
It's 2011.
And it is literally a Virtual Boy, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
It couldn't be much more Virtual Boy than it is. It looks weird,
though. It's going to sell shitloads in Japan.
Oh. Probably. I kind of hope that they release it over here. I think it is going to be like 500 quid.
It looks mental, though, because the front bit's huge.
Just by, you can get a lot off I Want One of Those. You can get glasses that you can plug into various things.
Yeah, but are they 3D?
I don't know.
Are they Sony branded?
Also,
no.
will 3D even work that close to your eyes?
Yeah, because the way they do the display, it doesn't seem like it's that close to your eyes. It's further away.
3D works in real life, and everything's close to your eyes in real life.
When stuff gets close to me, I just see it in 2D. It's all flattened out.
All the colour fades out of it. It just looks like a pencil drawing.
Yeah, exactly.
Looks like an aha music video.
Yeah. Again, I don't think there's anything we can say about that very much, apart from, man, I hope the Vita doesn't fail.
Yeah, pretty much. So does Sony.
Because Sony seems to have sunk a lot of money into this. All right. What we did, that's why I wasn't here last week. Moving on. I was in London.
That London?
I was in that there London. Where apparently I wrote a piece about this that was quite good, apparently. That's what I'm told. I went up on Monday. Well, last Monday. Last Tuesday when this came out. When this comes out, whatever. In the past. Go and look.
Use
for
the search box.
Yeah, search for Need for Speed the Run. Yes, I went and saw that. It was quite good. Go read the thing. I can't really say much else. It was really good.
Was the 3D nice?
There was no 3D in it, annoyingly.
Was it very similar to every other Need for Speed game?
Yes. But not quite as good. And also the handling is weird and you can't drift.
The handling's shit in Hot Pursuit.
Yeah, but at least in Hot Pursuit you could drift.
Barely.
Oh, no, Hot Pursuit's fucking easy to drift in. I found it genius.
It's not like Hot Pursuit.
I played it before I wrote the article just for a bit of comparison. And, yeah, Hot Pursuit, drifting, that's so easy. Just hit the brakes and steer around the corner, hit the brakes for a second and then go back onto the throttle. And you'll drift around the corner, dead easy.
Thanks for that.
Simple.
Yeah.
And this wasn't just me with the run. It was everyone else I talked to at the event. It was like, I can't make it drift. And eventually I managed to get some points for drifting. But it didn't look much like drifting when I was
I had a similar experience with Forza 3. With all the, there's achievements for doing drifting stuff on that. And you get drifting points for that. I had a similar experience on that where I spent about 2 hours one Sunday afternoon swearing at it, saying, why the fuck will this not let me drift? I can't believe it's so stupid, and stomping about like a child, and then realised that I had the traction control assist switched on.
Genius.
Yeah.
I find
drifts quite easily when you turn that off.
I find I can't not drift in Forza to the extent I just crash into stuff.
Yeah, turn the traction control on.
I don't want to drift. Oh, I've gone into a wall. Yeah, that was the major failing for the run for me was, I want to drift around this corner. No, you may not do this. Which is quite irritating. And then there was tiny food.
There's always tiny food.
Apparently, no. I've heard rumours of an event where there was not tiny food, when they brought real food.
No.
Apparently, if you went to the last Prince of Persia game, if you went to the event, they just bought like 40 Domino's pizzas. And just said, yeah, help yourself to some pizza.
Oh, that's just not trying.
That's awesome. That's what I fucking want. Oh, fuck.
No, I demand all my PR provided food to be miniaturised.
Here, have like 1/16th of a stir fry.
Yeah, on a funny little pastry wafer biscuit thing.
No, the stir fry was in... Basically, they gave you so little stir fry, it fit on a spoon, and you pick the spoon up, and like it was like, you know, like Chinese soup spoons?
Yeah. You know,
the kind of shape I mean.
Yeah.
It was like on one of those, and so but with the stir fry already on it. So they came around and went, stir fry? And you went, like, but they didn't say stir fry, they said whether it was fancy chicken with spicy noodle or something. And so you pick it up, and it's like, oh, okay. And just like do it in, and you can swallow it without even chewing it. There's so little of it.
Just like an oyster, like you do a shot of stir fry.
It's just like that. I'm like, can I not have normal sized food? And then, and
give me something big to eat.
The worst one was when I went to the Halo Reach launch party, and they gave you, because not like the stir fry cake was little food, but quite often they give you food that is like meant to be little, like things on tiny little biscuits and stuff. You're like, okay, that's reasonable. I still want big food, but at least this is meant to be tiny food. But the Halo Reach launch party, they had like tiny curries with tiny naan breads. I was like, it's clearly taken you more effort to make these little. Could you have not just made normal sized curry? Really?
Maybe Microsoft. They have a perception that all game journos are like borrowers.
I think we're all tiny, and they get the food out, and they're like, oh, they're normal sized people.
This will feed me for a month.
Oh. And then I met the lovely Nick Nakerman on Twitter, who was rather nice and came to Victoria with me because he had to get his train for Victoria as well, and then gave me a voucher to get some McDonald's, which I fucking wolfed down on the train. So I was like, it's real food, actual food.
Who is this man that gives out McDonald's vouchers?
He's another games journalist. He's very nice.
Oh.
And he was...
I didn't even know McDonald's did vouchers.
Oh, he had this huge thing of vouchers, and he said, yeah, what one do you want? I was like, that one for chicken nuggets. And I had...
Oh, you loser.
I had
chicken nuggets.
I had chicken nuggets, but then I supersized it, so I got chicken nuggets and like a big Coke and big fries.
Giant food.
Do they still supersize up London, do they?
Well, it's not super... But you can go large. You can go large anywhere for like 40p.
Yeah, that's
what
she's supersizing.
Well, that's I'd call it supersizing. It's not supersizing. No, it's just going large for the good 40p, and it's whatever.
I was gonna say that apparently they stopped selling supersized because, you know, in like a supersized normal Tango, there's the equivalent of 42 teaspoons of sugar.
Well, that's a lot of sugar.
Yeah, when they stopped doing supersizing at McDonald's, I just started buying two.
And also, there is the story of the terrifying Starbucks I went into before the event. Which was because this was in a really nice place. It was like opposite the Ritz, this event. And so because I turned up a little bit, firstly, I got off the tube and spent 5 minutes looking for the place before I realized it was literally next to the tube station. It was so close to the tube station, I just walked past it.
Oh, and you got on the tube?
I'd come off the tube, if you see what I mean.
I'd
got from Victoria, I got off the tube, I went, all right, where is this place? Like, when I looked at it on Google Maps, it looked like it was, like, 5 minutes away or something, you know? And I was just trying to work out, do I want to turn left or right from the tube station? And stood there for a while trying to work this out. And then kind of went, it can't be this one on the corner. And then worked out what the address was. And went, oh, okay. It's the one, there's, like, a shop and then the Audi rooms between you and the tube station. Which is just weird. But awesome. And then so I went around the corner and went in this Starbucks for, like, half an hour. And... oh Jesus, there were fancy people in that Starbucks.
Were they drinking like decaf, no milk?
No, I don't know what they're drinking, but they're just, their suits look, they were like they were worth more than my house, that sort of people.
drinking in Starbucks. Bankers.
And just glaring at me. Like, you're wearing a t-shirt. What are you doing in here?
Lowering the tone.
And I was just thinking, it's a Starbucks.
You should have just told him you invented the Rubik's Cube or something.
I was just like, it's just a Starbucks. Jesus.
Yeah, you could have just walked in and gone, hi, I'm Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. I'm richer than all of you. Therefore, I can wear t-shirts.
Oh, but yeah, that was weird.
You're so rich, you need to hide your wealth.
Yeah, exactly. That was a weird Starbucks experience, and I didn't like it very much. I like London, I just didn't like. I don't go to that bit of London very much because there's nothing there I can afford. Like the bit of London next to the Ritz, I'm like, yeah, there's nothing here for me at all. Brilliant. Yeah.
Can't even afford to sit in their lobby.
So I tend to avoid that bit because there's nothing nice there. Yes. So that's what happened in London.
Is the Ritz the one with Claridge's restaurant attached to it?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, maybe.
Should have gone for cream tea.
I don't know, because that cost loads, and that was also the t-shirt. That's... I think I would have been kicked out of the Ritz.
Wasn't Claridge's closed for a long time?
I don't know.
I know he got told off because they don't actually apparently make food there. He has it made in a factory somewhere and then shipped to wherever it is.
Like Bernard Matthews.
Yes.
You go to Claridge's for lunch and get turkey Twizzlers.
He lost a star for that.
I'm not surprised.
Did old Ramsay.
You should have lost all your stars for that. That's bad times.
I bet that made him cheerful.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's near the Ritz. I don't think so.
What?
Claridge's. It doesn't look like it.
I thought there was like a branch of it.
Oh, I don't
know. I thought that was what the restaurant in the Ritz was.
Oh, in the Ritz is a branch of Claridge's. Oh, I don't know then. Maybe. Could well be. Honestly, don't know.
Who knows? We could be wrong.
Oh, do they?
Who cares?
Wikipedia.
Other luxury restaurants are available.
Yeah.
No, there aren't. It's the only one.
Yeah, it's the only one worth going to. Apart from the luxury hotel that my wife works at, obviously.
Which is obviously good, apparently. Is it any good?
Yeah, probably. I could tell you stories about it.
Or you couldn't because you have to cut out the podcast, but...
Yeah. Let's not.
I don't know.
Shall we move on?
Yeah, I'm bored trying to figure out things about the Ritz.
It's really not that important. None of us are going.
Yeah.
No, ever.
And I'm pretty sure none of us actually care.
Yeah, we'll just ask the driver to leave us there.
James?
Claridge's.
Lewis, competition time.
Okay. last week I played a TV theme which went like this. Which is, of course, the X-Files.
Obviously.
It was, obviously. And I'm just going to grab the answers. I didn't get many entries this week. 1, 2, 3. I got 6 in total.
Maybe they were abducted by aliens.
Maybe. I didn't think about that. I think you're onto something there, Peter.
Mm-hmm. They're possibly currently being probed.
Duh. Not good.
So I got 6 answers. So if someone could pick a number between 1 and 6.
4.5.
1, 2. So in your world, we're rounding up to 5?
Yes.
Right, okay. Number 5 is Michael Mannion, who I believe is MT Mannion.
I know him. I follow him on Twitter now. There you go.
Good for you.
I follow him in real life.
I've been battling him with Words with Friends.
Can he beat you at Words with Friends, Lewis? Because you handed me my arse in every game that we ever played on that.
No, he hasn't beat me yet.
it just got embarrassing. I think actually you and there was one other guy, but you were the only person that beat me every time on Words with Friends.
Scrabble and Words with Friends and things like that. I seem to have this infinite vocabulary, and yet when it comes to talking and writing, I'm reduced to fuck, shit, cunt, bollocks.
Which should all
when
be valid.
When there's points involved.
Yeah.
If people were scoring your conversations, you'd do so much better.
Oh yeah, I'd be on it like a car bonnet. And I've got three DVDs left. So if Chris could pick, Peter, pick a number between 1 and 3, please.
1.
1 is 500 Days of Summer.
I like that film. It's a good film.
Yeah, I really like that film as well.
I really like the bit where he's bouncing the ball and then it goes into the beat of the music.
Oh, right. The bit that creeps me up was when they go through IKEA.
Oh, that's awesome, like, though.
Honey, the tap's not working. Oh, we'll have to go to our second kitchen.
So funny.
Yeah, no, I really like that film. It's an unconventional rom-com, I think is the best way to describe it. Doesn't all go as normal rom-coms do, and it's actually quite funny. And it's got Zooey Deschanel in it as well, so bonus.
Bonus.
So well done, Michael Mannion. You have won 500 Days of Summer.
Hooray!
Congratulations.
This week's piece of music, let me just grab that. Okay, this piece of music has been used in countless things, but I'm looking for the film that it was originally and most iconically used in. And it sounds like this. Okay.
I know what that's from. It's from Step Up 2, Step Up Harder.
No, Step Up 2 is Step Up to the Streets. God. Dan tried to teach you so much about Step Up last week, and you clearly weren't listening.
No, I automatically switch off.
Step Up 2 and break your ankle. Yeah. Step up
and jog on.
Also, Step Up. Step Up is the one. I don't know. Yeah, I think Step Up 2 is not a good Step Up.
Step up,
if
step
you
up
know
and get
that
down.
Piece of music, then email me at lewiscaston@screendemon.com with your name, answer, and address.
Add address. Email Lewis with a picture of you and address.
Yes.
Your quid's in to win.
Exactly. That's what I would do if I was going to enter, but I can't. And also, I wouldn't watch the film if I won it. And then Lewis would get annoyed. It would be bad. Lewis, you watched The Inbetweeners.
I did.
Okay.
It was alright. I've only seen about 2 of series 3 of the TV series. So... I was almost going in blind.
I love The Inbetweeners.
Yeah, I've like I said, I've only watched a couple. I mean, that couple is enough to give you the gist of the characters and what have you. But the film was funny. I'll give it that. It was very, and from the few that I've seen of the TV series, it seemed to be very, sort of true to the original source material, if that makes sense. I liken it to like basically an English Hangover. English version of The Hangover.
Okay.
It's obviously just them four out in Malia, being the in-betweeners. There's not much more you can say. If you know the TV program, then that's exactly what you're going to get, is you're just going to get those four being the in-betweeners, but in Malia. And because it's on the big screen, they'll be a bit ruder, a bit cruder, and possibly a bit funnier.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like I say, it's difficult for me because I'm not a massive watcher of the series, so I can't compare it back. But as a sort of standalone comedy film, I really enjoyed it. It's quite fun.
Yeah, and it's not going to be. I mean, this is not going to stand up as a pillar stone in
modern cinema, but it's for what it is.
Man, are you sure?
Yeah, it is. It is just like a feature length episode.
Oh, which sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's and the Jay, is it Jay? Jay's the one that keeps pretending he's done loads of.
Jay's the liar.
Yeah. He comes out with some brilliant one-liners in it.
Yeah, that's kind of what he does in the TV show as well. He talks about being knee-deep in clunge and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I think my favourite line from his in the film was, she's so wet, you can hear the waves crashing inside her. So yeah, it's just full of one-liners like that, which are quite funny. And I think in the trailer, you can see the bit where Neil says to, like, they're trying to hit on the group of girls in the club, and he says, play it cool, and then We Know Speak Americano comes on and he does a funny dance move trying to sidle his way over to him. That then leads into an absolutely hilarious segment where that he starts dancing, and he's obviously a really good dancer. He can actually dance.
He does the robot dance a lot.
Yeah, he does like body popping dancing.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, we've got to follow him. So they all start dancing behind him, trying to sidle up on these girls. So you end up with Neil doing body popping. You've got Will trying to do some sort of weird running man dance, and it turns into an absolutely hilarious segment where they're all four trying to dance and they just look absolutely ridiculous. So yeah, it is funny. The more I think about it, actually, the more I think, the more comes back to me. It is funny. And I think the only thing that I found, like I say, from my limited knowledge of the TV series, the film seems to be a lot more sentimental than the TV series.
Well, it's the last thing, isn't it? I assume it is, anyway.
Well, I don't know that, because there's obviously talk of sequels because of the amount of money it's raked in so far.
But I mean, like, at present, it's kind of like the last thing.
I mean, I could picture them doing a In Between Us 10 Years Later type thing, where they get married. That'd be quite interesting. But yeah, I think there's nowhere else for it to go now.
Yeah, they're no longer In Between Us.
No.
Now they're adults.
So yeah, it's... It ends quite sentimentally, but yeah, no, it is really funny. Really funny film.
The only thing that puts me off is having to go to the cinema and watch a funny film like that with a room full of other people.
Yeah, I went yesterday, and it was packed, like not an empty seat at all. But it was actually quite good, because obviously judging by the crowd and their reactions to even the first scene, like Will was sitting there talking to his dad, and they were laughing, and you obviously knew that they were up to speed in terms of the characters and were fans of the show. So it was quite good, actually, because it was one of those rare occasions where everyone was laughing in the cinema and sort of they were all there at the same point. Whereas other films you get where you'll laugh hysterically and no one else is laughing, and then you feel like a bit of more of a prick. But yeah, because everyone was joining in and whatever, it was all right.
Fair enough.
Unless you've got a really horrific laugh.
It's more other people's laughter than I can stand. The sound of other people enjoying themselves.
Makes me want to throw.
Yep. Gives me shivers down my spine. Like nails down a blackboard to hear people giggle.
Oh, sorry. Yes, yeah, so In Between, it's good. Go watch it.
Awesome.
You like that.
Peter, you finished off Deus Ex. I can't be asked to segue things this week. Peter, you finished off Deus Ex, apparently.
I did finish Deus Ex. It turned into... I talked about it a little bit last week on the podcast, but I'd only played the first little segment of it then.
Yeah, but you can't expect me to comment on things from last week when I wasn't here.
Sorry?
Can't wait to comment on things from when I wasn't here. God.
It turned into quite a decent game.
Even though he edited the podcast, he still didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
No, I was just like, no, it's all right. Yeah.
He just edited it going by the peak data of the waveform. it turned into a pretty decent game. I really like the backstory and the narrative of it. The combat, the sort of action bits of it were a little bit, I don't know, not, they weren't perfect. They were pretty decent, but they were a little bit sort of stifled. And the conversation
aspects of it were hilarious, simply because the voice work is terrible in that game. But it's more than made up for with the great story and the back. There's so much stuff in the backstory as well. And there's things like you read things, you find like little digital ebook things about the place and you can read them. And it gives you a little bit of history or a little bit of backstory or tells you bits about. There is a notepad in the very first section of the game, which doesn't make any sense at all until you've finished the game. So it's all that, it's that complex.
All right.
So yeah, it was really, really cool. And the ending is, well, the ending of the gameplay is a bit weak because the sort of the final boss thing, well, the boss battles in the whole game are awful, but the final boss bit is a little bit pointless. But then you basically finish the game and you have a decision to make, and whatever decision you make, it shows you different like video footage and there's different consequences. And that's all done really well. It's all quite emotional.
Cool.
So there you go.
It was good.
Yeah. Deus Ex, it was good.
Should it have not had boss fights? This is something I've seen talked about a lot.
It should either have not had boss fights at all and done that stuff with cutscenes, maybe, or it should have had much better boss fights. Because basically the game, you can do the whole game without killing anybody. There's actually trophies and achievements for doing that, except for the four boss fights. And the four boss fights basically consist of a really overpowered character charging you constantly.
So basically it should have had good boss fight. Well, it shouldn't have had bad boss fights.
Yeah, it shouldn't have had the boss fights that it had.
Either have good boss fights or no boss fights.
Pretty much, yeah. And it could have just done those boss fights with cutscenes and shown you dealing with them in a cutscene, and then that would have been fine. You know, there was no need. It's not a game that needs the combat element. So forcing you to do that, and especially because of the way that you level up, like you can go through that game and the experience points that you collect, you can put into leveling up either, you can level up like your hacking skills or your strength or all that sort of shit, but you can hack up basically either combat or stealth. And if you'd been leveling up your stealth all the time, when you got to the first boss fight and all of a sudden stealth was completely useless, it would have been really, really annoying, I think.
I've heard from a couple of people who did just that, who'd only put points into stealth and had to finish the boss fights by just laying mines and hoping for the best.
Oh, Jesus. No, that would be awful. Basically, I leveled up all aspects fairly generally, but I worked out the best way to do it is to level up combat until the first boss and then stealth until the second boss, and then you can go either way after that.
Oh, cool.
But you definitely, the first boss requires quite a lot of combat, and the second boss, in order to get to the second boss, you need quite a lot of stealth. But yeah, it was a pretty good game.
Coolio.
So there you go.
That's what I'm going to say. I just like saying Coolio now. It's my new...
Coolio.
It's my new thing to say. You say that. You said that to me yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
You said Coolio when I was going to bed.
Coolio.
Problem is, every time you say it, you just want to burst out into Gangster's Paradise.
And yeah. Well,
I've been spending half my life living inside a Gangster's Paradise.
I want to confirm that I do talk to Pierre every night before I go to bed. Special bedtime talk, you know.
Yeah. That's not even a joke.
Yeah, I know.
Aww.
I know. The thing is, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, moving on.
No, I don't move on.
Okay.
We need to talk about Deus Ex more.
Standing still.
Oh, I suppose I could talk about things. Comics.
I also went through the entirety of Deus Ex and never once used the... There's like a special weapon thing that you've got called the Typhoon. I never used that once at all. I don't know what that does. Just because you have it, and it's talked about in the game. It's like a big thing in the game. And I just never felt the need to use it.
Does it make a good cup of tea?
No. It's something...
Oh, that's Typhoon.
It's something to do with projectiles that fly out of you.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I ended up when, because I reloaded my save a few times to look at the different endings, because I am that cheap. I ended up during one of those times going, oh, hold on, I haven't used this at all. I'll have a look. And I press the button and he does like a funny swirling animation thing and these things explode out of him and then that's it. I was like, oh, that would have been quite handy to use when I was fighting all those people.
That does sound pretty cool.
Yeah. That's another thing, though. The game has like canned animations for things. So, and like, they're mildly irritating when you're like climbing up a ladder and you press the button to climb and it zooms out and gives you the third person view and shows you him climbing up a ladder. And then there's things like one of the level up things you can do is gives you a power that means that you can jump from any height and not die. But what that means is when you jump off something, it goes into this canned animation of him floating down through the air with his big yellow glow thing around him. And then the typhoon thing was the same thing. It was you press the button and then it goes into a little canned animation. And that stuff was a little bit irritating just because it happens so often.
No.
Sorry. Carry on.
There we go. Comics. We have, that doesn't count, 1, 2, 3, 5 correct answers.
Hurrah.
Who won?
What was the question?
So the question was, it was a couple of weeks ago, so because I wasn't here last week and I forgot to email Peter things. What the question was basically, what comic did we talk about where the lead character is blind? I think that was it. Yes. And the answer was Daredevil. Hooray. So you get 5 random comics, and Peter's gonna send you a copy of Daredevil as well because he's nice.
Yes,
like that.
I am.
So yeah, so someone pick a number 1 to 5.
Lewis, 2. Pick.
2.
I would have gone for Pi.
Damn it.
That is Andrew Farrington, Fazablax. Do you know him?
The man that Peter hasn't heard of before. He's never won a competition before.
Don't know who he is.
He won last week's competition, last week's DVD competition.
No, I've never heard that name before in my life.
And he's won one before.
I don't know.
And in fact, on his answer for this week's competition, he said, thank you for sticking up for me.
He's an enigma. I've never heard of him.
Ah.
He's a mystery.
We also had a slightly cheeky email from Matt Q, who is the guy who suggested... Do you remember the guy who suggested Mean Machine as the answer to the comp?
Yes. Yeah,
this is that guy.
Did he own up to that?
Yeah, he did. He's a cheeky one. He says, I've never owned a comic book ever. If Chris is trying to get rid of them, can I possibly have one? And I was like,
has his cheekiness paid off?
No, get fuck off.
Oh.
Get to answer a question. We don't make him very tough.
Yeah, Google it. Enter the competition.
Also,
wow, you are hard.
Also, he spelled my name wrong, so that's why he doesn't get one.
That's because no one spells Chris with a K.
I do, and it's always in the podcast post. It says Chris with a K in there.
But if you told people your name's Christian, it would help out a bit better.
No, because that's still those people CH. And also then people would call me Christian.
That's your name.
Yeah, but it's not the name I use.
It's the name you were given.
Yeah, but I don't use it. Even my brother doesn't use it.
You use an alias.
Even my brother doesn't use it. The only people who use it are my parents.
Your brother Carl with a K?
It was C. It wasn't with a K because K's too like Karl Marx. God. Like, you don't listen to the weird facts about my family.
It's not Carl. I do listen. It's not Carl with an X.
It's Carl with a C.
You're thinking of Malcolm X.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I always get them
mixed up. After that, slightly weirdness. Peter, did you read the new JLA comic from Comixology in digital?
I did. I bought it on Comixology, which has had a massive redesign.
At way too much money.
£2.49.
Which is...
So you're not going to tell Thingy what comics you won?
Yeah, he won some comics. I guess.
Thingy?
Andrew Farrington. Fazalax.
I just pretended I'd never heard of him. You called him Thingy.
Do we want... Sorry, I keep forgetting bits tonight. I'm a bit frazzled. Do we want top, middle, or bottom of the stack of comics?
Bottom. You sound like Michael Barrymore.
Right.
Top, middle, or bottom?
I wish I could do the sound effect now.
I think
what? Top, middle, or bottom?
Yeah, what was the sound effect when he presses the button and the thing comes up on the screen?
And you get a hotspot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hotspot, oh, we'll be back to you. And then he goes to the next person. Top, middle, or bottom?
Middle. All right. You have won. issue 2 of Batman The Dark Knight. Hooray.
Issue 2, that's handy.
Just random comics. Issue 1 of the infamous comics.
Of the infamous comics?
Yeah, the infamous, the game.
That's pretty cool.
Number 1 of Avengers Prime.
Is that like a poor man's Transformer?
3, isn't it? That's 2. No, that's 3. And, where's that? That shouldn't be in there. Issues 1 and...
That should be in there. That's my Playboy.
No, I'm a Playboy. I don't know. And, magically, issues 1 and issue 2 of Iron Man and 4.
Sorry, Iron Man what?
Shut up.
Iron Man 4? I thought they'd only made 2 of those movies.
Or do you mean issue 4 of Iron Man?
No. I mean neither of those things.
What do you mean?
I mean issue 1 and 2 of the comic book's called Iron Man 4. It's Iron Man and the character Iron Man and the character 4.
But 4's not a character, 4's a number.
It's not the magic number though.
No, that's 3. Or 3, sorry.
Right, anyway, moving on swiftly because I can't be asking you guys because you're twats. this week's comic competition is to the minute we're going to talk about the JLA DC reboot, so you'll probably get the answer to this out of the podcast if you listen closely, or if not, we've talked about it before definitely, or you can like Google it in about 5 seconds. DC are relaunching all their comics as of yesterday, which would be Wednesday because we recorded this on a Thursday, with JLA number 1. How many comics are in the relaunch? So there's a load of number ones. How many number one comics are they putting out in the last week of August and the first week of September? You should find that pretty easy, I think. It's a nice, easy question. Yes. If you want to enter the podcast competition for comics, email me at podcasts@sixaxis.com with the subject line comic competition. Thank you very much.
You could call it Comic Com.
Yes, you could also do that.
See what I did there. Yes.
JLA DC reboot. Right. Firstly, Peter, you got the digital version. It's way too much money.
Is it?
It's the same version as the physical. It's the same price as the physical version.
It's yeah. It was $249.
Which I think the physical version is $249.
Okay.
But don't they animate it?
No.
No.
Oh.
It's still the same. You just click through it and it goes through pages and panels.
Yeah. Is that too expensive? Should it be cheaper because it's digital?
It's digital. There's no collectability to it. You don't actually get it. You're just like buying it, but someone else actually gets to keep it. So you don't...
God, Peter, you're such a...
You don't get to like... You don't get to... We're talking about this in the comic shop. Like, it's not actually yours. It still sits on Comixology servers.
Well, no, it's on my iPad.
But did you actually download it? Or do you have to be connected to the internet for it? But yeah, but I mean...
No, I have to download it.
But no, but what I mean is, it's like... the whole DRM argument. It's not really yours because you have to access it through Comixology.
Yeah.
You see what I
mean? Well, there is that. Well, that's the thing. If all my iDevices break... If I lose access to the internet, I can't see that thing again.
Yeah, exactly.
True enough. But I would actually pay more for it just for the fact that it means that I don't have to have it cluttering up my house.
Or if Comixology goes away.
Yeah.
Then you don't have any more.
Oh, you've got me all worried now.
Whereas my physical copy of it is perfectly fine. And even...
What if your house burns down?
That's true.
That's a cheery thought.
Yeah.
Buy digital in case your house burns down.
It is a pastime of mine.
You can burn my house down just to prove Peter right, aren't you? She's like, oh, Peter, you made the right choice.
Prove a point.
Oh dear, Chris, look what happened.
I would rather have the digital copy because I'm not one for these things piling up everywhere. That being said, I did think that it was a little bit expensive because I thought it felt a bit short.
I don't think it was that short. I think I'd say it felt more rushed than short. Very fast paced though.
Yeah. I don't know. It just when I got to the end of it, I just thought, oh, it kind of feels like there should be another, like maybe an extra third on the end of this. And I, like you say, I think it did feel a little bit rushed. I think some of the artwork wasn't quite up to scratch, which is odd for Jim Lee.
Yeah.
I think there was one or two pages that just did look a little bit like he'd rushed the artwork.
Yeah.
Which is possibly a symptom of the amount of books that they're doing at the minute.
That is
and
true.
They're trying to stick to a really tight schedule
and
with getting them
also
released.
With Jim Lee like heading up the whole of the project.
Yeah.
I liked it, but I also didn't like it. I'm looking forward to the next issue, Batman versus Superman. That should be good.
Yeah, see, that's the other problem. I don't traditionally like single issue comics. I like buying them as a collection. I hate that now I'm going to buy next week's because I really want to see that.
Next month.
They've left it on a really good cliffhanger.
Next month, it's not out till like the end of October.
Oh, that's fucking annoying.
I looked it up. It's like the 19th of October, I think.
That's really annoying.
Yep. I love how much of a dick Hal Jordan is.
Yes. Brilliant. And how casual Batman is. There's bits in the book that are really interesting between those two. I think the relationship between those two is a funny one, though.
It is very, very funny. But
and like, there's a bit where Hal Jordan says, so are you telling me you're just a guy dressed in a bat suit?
Yeah. It's brilliant.
It's quite clever.
I actually think they've captured both of those characters really well. Like, Batman feels very Batman-y and Hal Jordan feels like very like his character should be. I think they've kind of nailed that really well.
Overconfident.
Yeah. I think because obviously they're trying to draw in new readers, they're trying to make these as like core character-y as they can, if you kind of get what I mean.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really interesting is even though this is only set, because this is kind of like the JLA first story is like a prequel to the whole of the new universe, and it's set 5 years in the past. But even though it's only set 5 years in the past, this is the first meeting of Batman and Green Lantern, and of Superman as well, who turns up at the end of the book.
Like, yeah, it kind of starts off with basically people have just started hearing about these weird superheroes.
It's kind of 5 years ago, and superheroes only came into existence 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's Batman's really just started investigating them and stuff.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Which is an interesting premise to start the books with.
Yeah.
I'm quite looking forward to the next one, like I said, but it's annoying me that I'm going to have to buy them individually.
It's interesting because they did say that the history was going to be compressed, but I didn't realize it was going to be that compressed. It's just like, no, the superheroes are 5 years old. That's all. That's fairly compressed. Even like the Marvel Ultimate Universe stuff, although it was all like rebooting the whole universe to start fresh, it still stretches back to like World War II. They just introduce elements of it as it goes along.
That was the other thing that I liked about it, was that it was modern day. They didn't go back to like the 40s with it.
No, that was pretty cool. I'll give you that. But yes, I thought it was good, not great. That is my...
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
It was quite interesting, and it had some really interesting and quite well done points to it, but then there was also bits of it that weren't quite up to scratch. So, yes, a solid 3 stars.
Yeah, about I'd say 3 to 4 stars seems about right. If I get time, I will review that, but I probably won't because I have to review that game that I've got to review. Oh, well.
Yeah. Time.
Time.
If only there was more of it.
There is zero time. Yes.
Lewis.
No.
Yeah.
Have you read any more of Why the Last Man yet?
Yeah, tell us about that, Lewis.
No, I haven't. I haven't been able to buy any. I got paid yesterday and I'm skint. Let's put it that way.
Oh, dear.
I'm having to calculate journeys depending on how much petrol they'll use. That's how bad it's got.
Oh, dear.
So, no, not yet. As soon as I do, I will.
Excellent.
Right. Do you want to talk about
You're
the
quite slow tonight,
yeah,
Chris.
Sorry,
you?
I'm distracted. I talk about my. Do you want to talk about Marvel Ultimate stuff? There's been like two books in that. Or talk about The Guard. How far are we into this podcast? It's not too bad. Do I hear about a film or another comic book?
Do a film, because we've just done comics.
All right. The Guard is quite good. There you go.
Excellent. Right. Talk about comics.
So the Guard is. I can't remember what the guy's. It's got Don Cheadle on it, and he's fantastic in it. I've got to look at what the other guy's name is. I can't remember. He's Irish, though.
Colin Farrell.
No, it's not Colin Farrell.
Bono.
Brendan Gleeson.
Father Ted.
Brendan Gleeson.
It's Brendan Gleeson. And he's absolutely fantastic in it. And it basically follows a guard in Ireland, because, you know, they're called the Guard, aren't they? In the Republic, not your bit, the other bit.
The Guardie.
Yeah. But that means the guard in English, doesn't it?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Guarda Chicana.
Yeah.
It means the police.
Yeah, it means
the fuzz, the filth.
Yeah, exactly. the popo.
5-0.
Oh, right. Let's not just name nicknames for the police. Sting.
Pigs.
Narcos.
Oh God. Right. Yeah. But
Feds.
But the but basically the film. So it follows him. And at the beginning,
Rozzers.
At the beginning, it just seems like it's going to be like a really average, like look at a guard's life. But even from the beginning, it's a very funny, really, really dark comedy, like one of the darkest comedies I've seen in a long time. But absolutely hysterically funny in places. Like the bit where he's kind of like, he's not, I wouldn't say he's fat, but kind of just a little bit chubby. And sitting there, like, eating a fry-up and telling Don Cheadle's character about how he was an Olympic swimmer. And just bits like that are hilariously funny. And talking about how he was, like, he was prepared for the Russians, but he didn't think some German guy was going to make it to the Olympic finals and he wasn't ready for him. It's absolutely fun. It's just so funny. But it's quite touching as well, because it's also kind of... I don't know about not necessarily redemption, but just showing that. Partly it's quite nice because it makes it clear that the police are still human and have their flaws and foibles, but just because of that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to do a bad job. Like he in about halfway through the film, maybe he has two prostitutes up to a room that he's booked. And it's kind of like a monthly engagement thing he has. But they're these really nice girls, not like... It's kind of like from an agency kind of thing, if you know what I mean. And he...
Nice Irish prostitutes.
Yeah. Yeah, from Dublin, apparently. Which is very funny because everyone... Because I don't know where this is. I can't remember where it's set. Let me look it up quickly. It's... it's set somewhere. I don't know what it is.
Ballycus Angel.
No, it's set in Connemara.
Oh, Connemara. That's where my whiskey comes from.
No, fair enough. But it's apparently it's a Gaelic-speaking region.
In the west.
But it's very funny. And because they're all taking the piss out of the girls because they're from Dublin and sort of saying, oh, they're from Dublin, so they must be filthy. You might catch something. And then there's, the best bit in the film, which actually there is, because the whole point is Don Cheadle comes over as an FBI agent, and he comes over and, to deal with a drug trafficking case. And they all the guard get called in for a briefing on the case. Brian Gleason's character is called Boyle, is kind of just sitting there, in this briefing. And then these three Irish guys, three white Irish guys pop up and go, like, these are people suspected of drug trafficking. And he just puts his hand up and he goes, excuse me, I'm sorry, I thought all drug dealers were black. And there's this moment in it, because it's obvious the whole way through that he doesn't mean any of this, that he's just kind of, he doesn't want to deal with this FBI guy, that he's got his own stuff to deal with.
Yeah, and he's just taking the piss.
Yeah, but it's this brilliant moment where he's sitting in the car with him after he kind of realizes that it's all connected to his area. After that, well, when they're sitting in the car and you go, Don Cheadle's character, I can't tell if you're a genius or an idiot. but this is a brilliant bit, because in that same briefing, he points to one of the guys and goes, oh, I know where he is. And he goes, well, how do you know where he is? Oh, he's dead. And he goes, are you sure he's dead? Well, it's a mistake to put him in the morgue otherwise. but then they actually have a shot of them in the morgue, and Brian Gleason's character just flicks the guy's toe. He goes, yep, he's dead.
That's how you check.
It's absolutely fantastic. But my very favorite is the opening bit of the film, where there's these guys racing down like proper boy racers, and they and you see zoom past Brian Gleason's character in his car, and then you hear just this crash off screen, and he gets up and it cuts outside, and it's there's a huge car crash, and he's just kind of shaking his head. He knowing they were going to crash. And he kind of goes and drags the bodies, everyone's dead, and drags the bodies out of the car and just patting them down in their pockets, and pulls some drugs out of one of the kids' pockets. And he goes, your mama won't be wanting to see this, and puts it in his pocket, and then takes it back out and pulls out a tab or something with a smiley face on it and puts it on his tongue, and then just puts the drugs back in his pocket and looks up at the sky and goes, it's going to be a beautiful day. It's just, it's so funny, but it is horrendously dark, absolutely brutally dark, but you need to watch it. It's very, very,
yeah, I think
very
that's
funny.
Something that the Irish do generally better than anybody else in the world,
yeah,
is black humour, being able to laugh at anything, basically.
Mm. Yeah, it's just, so funny. So, so funny. And Don Cheadle is amazing in it as well. Works really well. It's just really funny seeing Don Cheadle really geared up as this FBI agent, and Brendan Gleeson just kind of taking this really relaxed, like, country police officer kind of way. Kind of like he's just a police officer for like a little village sort of thing. Just very laid back about everything, very chilled out, but incredibly smart as well. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. You should watch it. Everyone should watch that film.
Is this on the cinema, or is it on DVD yet?
Apparently it's out at the cinema. Because I saw it in my little indie cinema, but someone told me no, it's on at the big cinemas as well. So it's good. I'd definitely watch it. It's one of those films that you know is an indie film, though, because when they're doing the distribution credits at the beginning, there's like 20 companies who have all chipped in like a little bit of money.
Yeah, it's been passed around.
It's just like, yeah, we give you like 20 quid or something. Go film like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The beautiful country around there as well.
Yes, it's very pretty. That's the other thing. Very, very pretty. But yeah, definitely watch that. I highly recommend it. Anyway, moving on swiftly to the quiz.
Oh, that's me.
Yes, it is. No one's really paying attention this week, are they? Just kind of like, whatever.
This was done on a bit of a rush, and I was struggling to think of what to do, and I was flicking through the TV channels. So I have gone for power ballads used in films.
Oh, Jesus.
Some of the finest. These are power ballads that were famously used in films, 1 to 10, and you just need to tell me the film that they're from.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. We will kick things off with this one. All
Oh, it just makes you want to punch the air already.
Makes me want to punch something.
And number two. There's potentially two answers for that, so I may accept one or the other.
Mm.
Okay. I was trying to think of the old one, but I only know the new one.
Number three. Number four. No more lonely nights with a restless heart. Roll the dice. Make a brand new start. Number five.
Number six.
Cue it up. Oh, it's just, what?
It's number six, isn't it?
No, this is number six. Number five.
Oh, no, this is number five. Running.
Hooray.
Number five. We don't need another hero. We don't need another way home. All we want is what we got. Number six goes like this. Bet you're the one, and you can have your dreams. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. What were we on number seven?
Yeah.
Hang on. Seven. But we climb a step every day. Number. Peter doesn't sound very impressed.
I can't remember what that is.
Number eight. Hang on. Fuck's sake. Number eight. What was that, number nine?
That was number eight.
That was number eight. In which case... no, it can't have been number... Oh, yeah, number number nine. And number 10, I'm trying to find it. I did have 10 here earlier, but they seem to have disappeared in 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, there it is. There you go. Yeah. 10 power ballads.
I've got 5.
So have I.
This will be tight.
Okay, I'm
sure of 3 of them, though.
I'm fairly sure of 4 of them.
Number 1.
Is Robin Hood?
Yes. Robin Hood, Prince
Robin
of
Hood,
Thieves.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, yes. Number
is
2.
Is it Shrek 2?
Yeah, that's what...
It is a Shrek 2. The other answer you could have had was Footloose.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Question 3.
It's Rocky.
Yes.
Like, which one?
It's in... Oh, you bastard.
No, I need. It's not from any of the other Rockies.
Is
it's
it from
a specific
Rocky 1?
I would say Rocky 2.
It's from Rocky 3.
Oh, well, neither of us get that then. Fair enough.
No. Number 4.
I know what the song was called in the band. That's any help.
No.
Fuck.
Number 4.
Didn't get it.
No, neither did I.
That was Running Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Number 5.
No, didn't get it.
Mad Max, Return to Thunderdome. Number 6.
The Karate
6.
Kid?
Yeah, I got that too.
It was The Karate Kid. 3 all. Number 7.
Didn't get it.
I've got written down, oh fuck, I don't know, The Simpsons and Scrubs parody it though. It might be An Officer and a Gentleman.
You are absolutely right.
Oh fuck.
It is An Officer and Gentleman and The Simpsons.
And Scrubs parody it as well. Except
just about everybody's parodied that
except
scene.
Except Scrubs do it in reverse, where the woman comes in and picks up Dr. Kelso.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's 4-3 to Chris. Number 8.
Didn't get it.
I haven't got any others now.
Number 8 was Who Wants to Live Forever from
Highlander. Yeah.
Number 9.
Okay, number 9 is all my hope resting on this being Back to the Future.
It is Back to the Future. Huey Lewis and the News, Power of Love.
Tie.
Oral. And number 10.
Didn't get number 10.
Number 10 was The Bodyguard.
Yeah.
We've got another tie.
Oh, well, I didn't factor in
Kid,
a tie.
Just do kids' TV themes again. We were good at that.
Oh, I've got one. No, that might be a bit too easy. Yeah, no, let's go for it. Hang on. Talk amongst yourselves.
No, I refuse.
No. I demand an awkward silence while we wait.
Okay, then. Should we do it first person to shout out the name of the film?
Yeah,
do it that way.
Armageddon!
Yay!
Oh, I hate that song.
Peter Yay, wins. Peter.
I spent the whole intro going, what the fuck? I'm never going to
I was like, this doesn't sound like a power ballad at all.
One of the very worst.
Yes, from just after Aerosmith went shit.
Oh, Jaded was a good song, though. That was the same time.
Mm.
In fact, Jaded was a bit later, I think.
Yeah. We see there was a few things a bit later than that that were better than that.
Yeah, that was just crap.
But they weren't. There was nothing that lived up to Walk This Way and Love in an Elevator. And all that sort of period.
Crazy and Crying.
Yeah.
Awesome. Dude Looks Like a Lady.
Dude Looks Like a Lady. Oh, what an awesome song.
Which also came from Mrs. Doubtfire, which is a brilliant film.
And also describes Brighton fairly well.
Done. Peter wins.
Hurrah!
Peter knows more power ballads than Chris.
Oh, I was celebrating for a moment there.
Emails.
Okay. I quite like that new intro.
Yeah, just like a... Ah, fuck it. From Mr. Jason N. Millis. Can someone ask the Six Axis users somewhat successful Sainsbury supplies on Sunday south of Sussex?
What?
He tried to do a tongue twist a bit. It was shit.
What is it?
Can someone ask the Six Axis users somewhere successful Sainsbury supplies on Sunday south of Sussex?
Oh.
Which I assume means, is there somewhere successful Sainsbury supplies on Sunday south of Sussex? Don't know.
Is there anywhere south of Sussex?
No, it's kind of...
Isn't that the sea?
It's the sea.
France.
Yeah.
Isle of Wight.
Yeah, Isle of Wight. That's
racist.
Probably
Isle of Wogget.
Isle of Wigget.
Isle of Wygott.
I know I had a question in these emails somewhere.
There's a question in there
from
somewhere.
From Daniel Bell, which is an answer to the comic crime petition. He also had a question, which was, I was also wondering if you have read Ultimate Character America yet. I was given it as a gift and thought I would hate it, as I find the whole idea of Captain America a bit corny. However, I was pleasantly surprised. It was quite an interesting read. As the question is, have I read it? No, I haven't. Done.
I have a Captain America book.
I have a Captain America bit, but I don't have Ultimate Captain America.
No, I can't remember what the Captain America book I have. I think it's Reborn. Like a compilation. Marvel do these big books of compilation stuff. It's one of them.
Yeah, cool. I might have had another question. I don't know. Let me see. I did that. No, that was all the questions I had on email. Let's turn to to Joe's email question.
I accidentally, when we discovered that Michael Mannion won the competition, I may have deleted the rest of the emails. And now I regret it because I think there were questions in there. And the only one I remember, I can't remember who sent it, so apologies, was if we were to have action figures made of ourselves, what would our special feature be? Something like that.
My special feature?
I would have eyes that move when you pull the thing on the back of my head. Like eagle eye action.
My special feature would be no smooth area, anatomically correct.
You have a proper...
Who would know the difference?
Fully moulded plastic cock, if you were an action figure. That's what you say.
That'd be awesome.
And would you come... Would it be a range of action figures? Would there be female action figures? Would you be interlocking?
Well, that's a good point. Well,
would accessories?
That either the cock was permanently hard, or you'd have to have a cock that could become hard.
Well, is it made out of plastic? Do you have like a little rubber cock that's inflatable? Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe maybe there's a little button that you pump on your ass and it inflates your cock.
Maybe on the back there's just a little flipper, so it goes from up to down.
Or you just kind of squeeze the legs together and it pumps it up.
Yep. Like grip action. To be honest, that works for me in real life too.
I'd have stretchy limbs like Stretch Armstrong.
Just to get rid of those little T-Rex arms you've got.
Blasted things.
I need to blow my nose.
I can't even shed a tear. Well, no, I can shed a tear. I can't wipe them away.
Twitter questions.
I've just got a build-up of crusty, salty tears on my face.
That's not tears.
Damn it, Dan Lee.
Oh. Twitch questions. I've got a purpose here. AG2297 says, who would win in a fight between the community team and the news team?
Who's on the community team?
Peter.
It doesn't matter. The news team would win. News team's got Dan.
Yeah, Dan's got, like, training and shit.
But isn't the community team got Colin Barr, or is he no longer...
No, he no longer is on the community team.
Yeah, which case news team.
Yeah, the community team is basically Adam and Teflon and Jambo GT, and there's a new community team member.
Gazza. Gazza's as well, isn't he?
And Gazza, yeah.
Dan had just taken them all out.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I think the community team are quite young compared to the
new
team.
Yeah, but Dan had just roundhouse kicked them all in the face.
No, that's what I'm just saying. It's another point in your favour.
And bear in mind that also on the news team consists of Dan and Tough Cup.
Yeah, they're both big blokes.
Who is a bear of a man.
Tough Cup would just kind of walk through them, and Dan would roundhouse kick them all to the face.
Yeah, I imagine Dan would be quite technical. He'd be all with the arm locks and the pile drivers and all that
exactly.
shit. Whereas Tough Cup would just swat them away like flies. Yep.
Tough Cup would swap them away. Dan Lee would then try and rape them.
Lovely.
Okay.
That's what you all
creepy Liam, who's not so creepy this week, says, would you have let Robin jump? Which I believe is a reference to the either Batman or Robin, or no, it's the other one, Batman Forever. I think that's a reference to that. The scene at the beginning where Robin is on the bike and Batman turns the bike off.
Yeah, on the big statue thing. Yeah.
Oh, would let Robin jump. He totally would have made that jump.
Yeah,
he's going like crazy fast. Lewis?
Always let Robin jump. If there's a chance he'll die, let him do it.
Dan Lee says, we'll hump Lewis for food.
Not really a question, but a generous offer.
It's also a lie, because he doesn't need to be in the food involved.
In response, Mugsy Balone says, we'll hump Dan Lee for Lewis. which I'm not sure if that's a trade or if it's on your behalf. it's either a trade or it's just like, don't worry, Lewis. Yeah. Like, you look a bit knackered. I'll sort this out for you. Don't worry. You go have a bit of a lie down.
Let's settle it. Let's just have a menage. Done. It's done.
A sandwich. A Dan Lee sandwich.
There's not two of them.
No, he's the meat in the middle.
You asked this.
Grizzly.
All right.
With his own sauce.
Tom H. Lord asked a question, but it was like, what is the worst film you've ever seen? I think we've done that before. But Kevling had a good one, which is much better.
Did you just say Tom Waits?
Tom H. Lord. But he had a much better question. Kevlin kind of expanded it with a really good one.
No, let's ask Tom. He works for us.
I thought we'd answered this, though.
Wait, I say works for us.
I thought we'd done, like, what's your worst film before?
I think we have, but I don't mind answering again. I walked out.
No, but Kevin's got a really good expansion, which is, what's the worst film you didn't walk out of? Which I quite like.
Yeah, but that's bigger, because there's only been two films that I've ever walked out of.
Yeah, me too.
And that was XXX and Cabin Fever.
I have never walked out of a film.
I've walked out of Father of the Bride Part 2 and Batman and Robin.
I'll tell you, I did walk out of Empire Strikes Back.
No, you didn't. Shut up.
I wasn't even born.
What's the worst thing you didn't walk out of?
This maybe isn't fair, because it's not really the worst film, but there was a James Bond film. Was it Tomorrow Never Dies?
Yeah. Oh, that was awful.
Pierce Brosnan
with Halle Berry.
Yes, I think so.
Oh, and the Invisible Aston Martin.
Yes.
Jesus, what a pile of that is.
I didn't walk out of that movie, but I went to see it 2 weeks in a row with two different girls, which is the only reason why I didn't walk out of it. I went to see it the first time. I was like, well, what do you want to see then? And she said she wanted to see that James Bond film. I was like, okay. And we watched it. It was utter shit. And then the next week I went out with a different girl and said, what do you want to see? And she said that James Bond film. And I was like, okay. I can't exactly say, oh, I saw it last week.
Were the other girls shacking up with?
Yeah. That was in my younger days.
I think for me, the worst one I didn't walk out of was the Ang Lee Incredible Hulk film, which isn't terrible, but it's definitely not a good film.
Is that the one with Eric Bana?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that is quite shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's not awful, and there have been way worse Incredible Hulk films, but it's not a good film by any standard.
I did stay put through Hostel, which I regret.
Oh, I watched that at a friend's house. I watched all of that. That was rubbish as well.
It's so fucking shit. Yeah.
Wrestling question from Colin Barr. I'm sure okay. He's asked this before. Opinions on CM Punk?
Yeah, last time he didn't even say opinions, he just said
just CM Punk question mark.
I like CM Punk. I've done a complete U-turn
on
him.
Boy. CM Punk is awesome. Peter?
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah, probably. I'm quite alarmed that CM Punk turns out to be the straight edge stuff is actually anti-drugs things.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I kind of assumed it was, and then I thought, no, it couldn't possibly be.
Why are you shocked by that?
Just because I find it very weird.
If you follow me on Twitter, he's also a massive
comic
geek.
Yeah, he's a huge comic geek. And he's really nice as well.
Is he?
He seems like a really nice guy.
He seems, yeah, the little interview stuff that I've seen with him, and when he's doing his little bits, where he sits on the steps and slags off Vince McMahon, he seems really nice and seems like he's quite a cool guy. I just find all that abstinence weird.
It's not, I mean, it used to be his persona, like they used to shove it down your throat. Like it used to be the whole straight edge society, but it's not really a bigger part of his sort of persona now.
Yeah, it's not as big a deal now. It kind of like comes in and fades out of his wrestling persona.
Yeah, I think it's because now he's supposed to be the guy that has all the attitude and doesn't take any shit and all that sort of stuff. I think that kind of clashes a little bit with the goody-goody side of it. I just find it a bit bizarre, but I'm sure that he's a nice man, and I'm sure that he's awesome. I haven't watched wrestling in ages.
But still
think that he would probably get beaten up by the Ultimate Warrior.
But most people would.
Yeah, of course. As long as he can do it in 30 seconds, otherwise he'd be knackered.
I was going to say, you just have to wait for Ultimate Warrior to run around the ring, shaking people's hands for the first 5 minutes.
It's true.
And then attack him. Done.
I saw an interesting question somebody asked. I'm not sure who it was. It probably was Colin Barr, to be fair. Somebody said, would people be really upset now if CM Punk beat The Undertaker to end his streak at WrestleMania?
Yes, I would be upset. I'd be upset if anyone beat The Undertaker to end his streak.
Yeah, they should just let that go to 20.
Yeah,
they should
let him retire at like 15.
Has The Undertaker come back yet?
Not yet.
Because he was injured, wasn't he, after his last one?
Oh, he's a...
Or they at least pretended he was injured.
He is an old man at this point. But I mean...
The thing I find frustrating with that is, though, he comes back and then he still wins, but he gets beaten up and is made to look like the wuss and, like, really shit.
Yeah, it's the never-die spirit, though, isn't
but,
it?
But, I mean, even by... I don't know, I'm sure a couple of old years. He's pretty... He's, like... How old is he?
He's been around since I started 40, watching, wrestling in like 1990.
He's 46, which by like pretty much any sporting standard, like any sport, 46 is old to be competing at like a professional level regularly. Even like...
To the extent that he
competes. I mean, he doesn't even compete that much anymore because he's just so old, but...
But I mean, this is Hulk Hogan... carried on for until he was like 60, but for the last 10 years he wasn't really
doing
that
much. Hulk Hogan's still there, but he doesn't really wrestle.
Is he still there?
He's not in WWE, he's in TNA, and he's like evil manager man.
Eric Bischoff.
Eric Bischoff is there as well, being evil manager man.
Really?
They're combined in their evil.
Oh, Jesus, that was mental.
They're both evil people who try to take over the company or something.
Oh.
TNA is basically the WWE WCW graveyard.
See, it used to be WCW at the end of the 90s used to be like the old WWF when it had WCW had for a while Hulk Hogan and it had Brutus the Barber Beefcake in it, although he wasn't being
and
him.
Ric Flair.
It had Ric Flair in it.
Woo!
Woo! It had the Ultimate Warrior in it for a spell. Yeah, it had all the old I think it even had Legion of Doom, Animal and Hawk in it for a little while as well.
And Razor Ramon.
Yes, and Kevin Nash.
Machismo. He's just come back to WWE, actually.
Really?
Kevin Nash, yeah.
God, he's knocking on a bit now
In the CM Punk storyline.
Yeah, took CM Punk out.
See, this is my problem. If they would put these... if I could just buy a wrestling DVD that was just this CM Punk storyline, start to finish, I'd love that.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
But having to watch 3 hours of it for 6 months every week to get to the big finale.
See, I record it. I
don't have the time.
And it makes me laugh that I can watch a 3 hour program in about 25 minutes. So, you just watch the opening. Whoever comes down first has got something to say. Watch that. If it's boring, you can fast forward through that. There might be a match in the middle, but you normally just fast forward all the way to the end and watch the main event.
Don't want
to
see that Divas match. Don't care about him. Oh, God, no. Don't care about him. Or a person I actually care about.
If Sin Cara or Evan Bourne appears, I might watch theirs.
Is Sin Cara the new Mexican one?
Yeah, the one that arrived, got done for drugs, got suspended, and is back again now.
Brilliant. That was the quickest violation of wellness policy I've ever seen. Yeah. It was like a fortnight.
They made a month long.
Yeah, they were doing promos before he appeared.
Sin Cara, he turned up, did a couple of matches.
And he got suspended for violation of wellness policy. It was brilliant.
Oh, dear.
But having said that, he's back now, and he managed to do his jump over the ropes without hitting them, so maybe he's better without them.
Maybe he's back on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make him piss in a cup again.
Yeah.
It's the new Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy's back in TNA, but apparently Matt Hardy's like completely self-destructing.
Is he?
No, what, in real life. Or? Got arrested for DUI and crashing his car into a tree.
Oh, that was Matt Jeff Hardy, wasn't it?
This was like... Jeff Hardy's never done anything quite that extreme. Matt Hardy,
we talk about it. He's gonna go.
Yeah, but he's because he got caught in possession, he got pulled over for like speeding, and they searched him and found him on him. He got suspended for being on drugs in the ring at TNA like a few months ago. But Matt Hardy apparently is just completely imploding now. And then,
see, when you talk about wrestlers getting arrested, I'm picturing the Big Boss Man and the Mountie arresting them.
No, but he got arrested, and then about Matt Hardy got crashed his car, like completely totaled his car, DUI, and then within 2 hours he'd been released from TNA. TNA immediately went, "No, you're out. Bye."
That's a bit extreme.
Yeah. Well, I think they've had so much trouble with his brother as well, and
between them, which is a shame because they possibly are my favourite tag team.
And plus, the difference is Jeff Hardy actually draws. Matt Hardy doesn't really draw. Like as a team, they draw. By the way, by draw, for people who aren't wrestling fans, draw is like the number of people who come and see you. So Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy together as a team as the Hardy Boys, a huge draw. Jeff Hardy in singles competition is a huge draw. Matt Hardy in singles competition is a tiny draw. Like, not very many people care.
Also, I can't let that best tag team in history thing go. The Rockers were the best tag team in history.
The
Bushwhackers.
To be fair, statistically, the Dudley Boys are the best tag team in history.
Yeah, but that's across all brands of
wrestling. They've held the most championships in all brands of wrestling, and they've held the most championships from like the most brands.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, the Hardy Boys are my favorite.
Oh, yeah, they're a good tag team as well.
Well, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, and the Rockers.
The best part about that was when he kicked him through the barber window.
Yeah. Oh, that was a shock.
That was awesome.
I remember watching that.
Particularly as well, because I was watching that on YouTube the other day. Particularly because they're kind of make up and it all's looking good, and then fucking Shawn Michaels just turns around and kicks him through the window.
Yeah. That was such a shock. Yeah. And then Marty Jannetty, they had their little bit of a feud, and then Marty Jannetty kind of disappeared.
Just banished.
After.
Banished for the rest of time.
And Shawn Michaels went on to be
went to be like one of the biggest stars in the world, like ever. And Marty Jannetty's just came back like 20 years later to wrestle like 2 matches.
Did he even come back?
Yeah, he came back like as part of a Shawn Michaels storyline. So even when he came back, it was still on Shawn Michaels' behest.
Oh dear.
The thing I was wondering, wrestling question, is do you reckon Edge will be included in this year's Hall of Fame?
Maybe not this year. He's got to be soon, though.
Because of the fact that he obviously and he can't, is definitely and he was. Oh, it's not his fault that he's out.
Yeah, is he the guy that won the title and then they did like the medical on him after the match? And went, oh, shit,
yeah, immediately when you can yeah, never immediately when you can never wrestle again, which I'm not sure he can ever. I'm hoping that medical science progresses to the point where he can kind of get like a few more matches in maybe like 5-10 years if he want.
It's but, a bionic but I mean spine.
but I mean in a case of like if he wants to. Not necessarily like force him to do it, but I'd like medical science to progress to the point that like, or that he could at least go and like run a training school or something, you know?
And, yeah, that was quite a shock.
It was a complete shock. No one expected it at all. Because he was kind of...
I thought that it was a laugh. I thought that they were going to end up with somebody teasing him and making him come back and wrestle.
Completely gone.
It was going to be one of those things.
You can normally tell like by the way they speak.
They normally cry.
And you can tell the difference between like scripted and unscripted. It's pretty easy to tell. If the dialogue actually sounds natural, it's completely unscripted. If it sounds like a robot wrote this, if it sounds like someone just went, yes, these words work together as a sentence, then that is scripted.
If someone comes to the ring and starts going, I hope this isn't Chris's blood.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Like that type of acting. If it sounds like Resident Evil, it's not real.
If it sounds like an actual person, then it's probably real. Except for CM Punk. CM Punk is impossible. There are a few wrestlers like CM Punk and Mick Foley. It is impossible to tell when they're being real and when they're being scripted.
And John Cena.
Yeah, John Cena, I can't tell the difference at all.
And I think The Miz is pretty good as well.
Yeah. But for in general, you can normally tell when it's scripted.
But then having said that, Edge was always good at that.
Yeah. The problem with the I don't know if The Miz, I can't... I think the difference with The Miz is that he's always on script, so I've never had the chance to tell if he's going off script. He's just so, like, permanently, completely on message. Apparently, he's the hardest working guy in the company at the minute. If you look like any media event, The Miz goes to every single media booking.
He's still a dick, apparently.
Well, as a wrestler, yeah, he's apparently quite a nice guy, and everyone respects him because he works so hard.
But wasn't he on the Real World?
Yeah,
dick.
Yeah,
that's where he started. And then he was on. I saw him on. What was it? Fear Factor once as well.
Oh, what a dick!
But I think the thing is though, is people respect him though because he's putting in the work to be like the face of the company.
Well, yeah, to be fair, he's gone into all the reality TV shows and he just looks like he's been trying to get famous at something.
Yeah.
Well, that's how he got into the WWE was through Tough Enough, which is their like X-Factor. Yeah.
And but to be fair, he's been with the WWE now for like 6 years or something, hasn't he?
Quite a while now, yeah. And it's the fact that he hasn't coasted.
Yeah,
that he's gone. No, I want this. I'm here. Like I'm going to work as hard as I can to be successful.
Yeah,
and he does. Like I don't think I have seen any other wrestler do like as many media appearances as he does. Like he's the only WWE champion. He won the WWE championship, and he went and did like every late night talk show in America.
John Cena does that as well, though.
I don't think he does it to quite the same extent, though.
John Cena's a dick, too.
A little bit, yeah.
I'm just saying that he is. I don't know the man, but he's a dick. Fuck him.
Oh, right, non-wrestling questions. Oh, we should do the forum questions. Peter, go get the forum up.
Oh, shit, right, okay, I'm going to the forum.
Blair sent us a question, but it's to comment on a picture, which doesn't really make great podcast. That's it.
Have you seen the picture?
Oh, the picture is just a drawing he did on his touchpad, and he says, "Is he as good as Lewis?"
Okay.
What's the picture of?
The picture of a shark eating a tomato. and it looks like it was drawn by a 4-year-old.
I drew a shark eating an apple. Here, hold on, I've got it. I'll throw it up in the chat window.
It looks more like a tomato.
What did he use that on?
On his new HP touchpad.
That is brilliant.
It's fantastic, isn't it? It just needs the thing that says Blair, age 19.
Yeah.
The only thing that I can criticise is that it's only got three gills.
You're doing the Art Attack music.
No, it's Heart.
Tony Hart's gallery music.
Sorry.
Yeah,
didn't have that when I was growing up.
You missed out.
You did.
You missed Morph and everything.
Had Art Attack and Smart.
Morph was my nickname when I was a toddler. Because apparently I talked like him.
Or were you just brown because you were covered in shit?
Yeah.
I was probably covered in chocolate.
Or shit.
Or shit.
Probably. I do like his picture of a shark.
Chocolate at one end and shit at the other. Yeah, it's an awesome shark.
It's only got three gills, which is scientifically incorrect.
Oh, dear.
Failure, Blair.
Biology fail.
I mean, right, it's at least four, and then if you have six, then it's a six-gilled shark. So,
quickly moving on to forum questions because we're running rather long. Move on, move on, move on.
Move on. Okay, forum questions.
I think I'm a fighter pilot saying eject, 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 eject.
Jesus Christ, this forum subject has the longest title.
I know it does. It's awesome. Read the title out.
The title is TSA Questions, Episode 34, the one where Peter boasts about having a certain and unusual type of food. Lewis slaps him and Chris gets penguin slapped. And there is cake.
None of those things happened.
No.
Yeah, there hasn't been any cake.
And I haven't got a certain and unusual type of food, unfortunately.
And I haven't slapped Peter.
No, not yet. This time yet.
Yes. There is.
Apparently Solid Steven is bad at predicting what's going to happen on the podcast.
Terrible. Try harder, Steven. Solid Steven's question, I'll pick one. What is your favourite genre?
Of?
Anything?
Well, I assume he means video game or movie or comic.
I'm a fan of a lot of genres. I think I tend to go towards sci-fi, thriller, horror, drama, comedy.
It's all of them. Lewis likes
mystery.
Everything.
Yeah, I can't narrow it down. I like it. If it's good, I like it, regardless of what genre.
What about you, Chris?
And to be fair, even if it's not good, I'll probably like it.
Chris? Is Chris there? Is Chris still awake?
Making horse noises.
Thinking. Okay, I'll go then. My favourite genre is probably sci-fi in pretty much everything. I quite like action RPGs, video games, and first-person shooters. But I play everything, obviously, because I have to. So there you go. And comic books, I like superhero comics, but I also like comics that are kind of set in the real world, but with a little bit of a weird twist.
I like sci-fi and also noir, but only noir.
But Sonny cannot lie.
I haven't really seen noir
you
films.
You other brothers can't deny.
But I like noir comics.
That when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a brown thing in your face, you get
stung.
Sprung.
I thought it was stuck. Oh, fair enough.
Stuck? She's not going to stab you.
Okay, Ollie Bob says...
Peter got stabbed today.
What?
I got
Peter
stabbed?
Got stabbed today.
Oh, God.
Didn't you?
Yeah, don't talk about that.
Don't. You're making go with me.
It was funny. He sent me an email about it. And how he nearly passed out.
It's not really funny.
Why? It's just funny if you're not you.
Yeah, it's funny for everybody but me and the poor nurse that has to sit next to me.
If it was me, you'd be laughing at me, to be fair.
Probably.
I remember our BCGSE or whatever they're called, injections at school. And some kid had his injection, started walking off down the corridor and then fainted. Our old school used to have like those cast iron massive radiators with multi sort of bars to them. Smacked his head on the corner, that blood went everywhere, and then about three other kids in the corridor puked up. All from one injection.
Okay, Ollie Bob says, I have a real phobia of needles, so talking about it makes me want to throw up. Ollie Bob says, which are you more excited for, Battlefield 3 or Modern Warfare 3?
Battlefield 3.
Yep, me too. Chris?
Battlefield 3.
Yeah, I think just because it's going to be a little bit different, something new. Symposium says, should military shooters feature giant menacing war machines? I think
what, if they're trying to be realistic or not.
Yeah, if you're a simulator, no, because you're maybe like simulating the real world.
Yeah,
and oddly enough, we don't have giant war machines.
Well, I think he says, should military shooters feature giant menacing war machines like the tank, copter, and the lower strength vehicles? I mean, if they're in the future, then surely it should have some form of nuclear mecha with lasers. So,
well, they're not, how far in the future.
Not many of them are in the future. Most of them are modern day, and the ones that are in the future do have like crazy weapons and shit.
Or they're set in the past.
Yeah, I think the military shooters mostly are only a couple of years into the future. Teflon, did you watch Page 8 on Monday night?
No.
He says, if you did, what did you think of it? If not, it's still on the iPlayer.
I do want to watch it, so I will catch up.
What's Page 8 about?
It's like a spy thriller with Bill Nighy, but it's, by the looks of it, in the same sort of ilk as The Good... What?
Just what Teflon writes about it. It's funny.
Oh, right. It looks quite stoic, like quite a stoic spy thriller.
He says, yes, it's more spies. I like spies, but I really... hold on, I think he's missed it. I really like how the ending went a rather different route to most spy films. Left me wanting a sequel. I guess they could call it Page 9, but that might confuse people and make them think it's a 9th installment. Actually, I wish there were 7 films before this. That'd be awesome. Just having Nye and Gambon going around sorting out conspiracies and Soviets and what have you.
The Soviet scamp.
Yeah. Just sorting out those scampish Soviets.
Oh, sorry, this is terrible. This is terrible for the podcast, but I'm putting another image into the thing.
Oh, you're going to make me have to try and save this. And it's an image of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's the Eiffel Tower being hit by a bolt of lightning. Oh. Absolutely incredible.
It is incredible. I will also try and save that and put that in the post.
That is amazing.
That's amazing, isn't it? I wonder if I hope that's big enough that I can get it as like a desktop picture. God, it's not. It's rubbish. Bugger. Oh, well.
Oh, I bet whoever took that picture is raking it in right about now.
I don't know. You're not allowed to take pictures of the Eiffel Tower when it's got lights on it.
What?
It's the only thing in the public space in the whole world that is copyrighted. You're allowed to take photographs of absolutely everything else in almost every country in the world, apart from like really strict Middle Eastern countries and stuff, if it's in public view. But the Eiffel Tower with lights on it is copyright. If you take a photograph of that at night, you're not allowed to profit from it.
That is ridiculous.
Yep. It's something the French authorities introduced a few years ago.
What a bunch of muppets.
Yeah. Okay, Spoofer Barnabas has asked, because he always forgets on Twitter. He's basically just asking questions to wind me up. Why is the Phantom Menace the best in the Star Wars series? And also,
it's not.
I'd like you lot to explain
because of pod racing.
I'd like you lot to explain why Jar Jar Binks is the coolest character in Star Wars. Because you've clearly banged your head.
Not even I can defend the Phantom Menace on the fact that pod racing is fairly cool, but I can't defend Jar Jar Binks.
No. Dum, 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 dum. I heard somebody say on Twitter last week that the Force is like duct tape because it has a light side and a dark side, and it's a mystery why nobody used it to shut up Jar Jar Binks. He also says, why is FIFA always released way beyond the start of the season, whereas Madden is released before the start of the NFL season?
Because?
I don't know.
I think probably because FIFA is released shortly after the end of the transfer season.
Yeah, it's after the transfer window, so everyone's in the right teams. But it doesn't make any sense now because they updated all the DLC and stuff anyway.
Yeah, also maybe because the football season starts in August and games don't sell in August.
Yeah, it's true. Whereas, well, to be fair, they'd want to release it, if they're saying release it before the start, they'd have to come out like in July, and really nothing sells in July.
Yeah. Although, I think FIFA's strong enough to sell any time.
Yeah, probably, but they don't want to risk it.
Okay, Muggsy Ballone has asked a question, and his questions always amuse me, so I'm sure this is going to be funny. Don't you just hate it when games proclaim to offer freedom for the player, but really you're just being corralled into a certain way of playing? Like with Deus Ex's gunslinging boss battles, or Borderlands' character choices. He says, sure, you can be a sniper, but you're not helping yourself, which is so true. In Borderlands, you can choose to be a sniper, but it really means that you're going to have a shit experience. But then he's given us three available answers to this question. The answers to this question are, yes, I believe this statement to be true. No, not at first, but later on I believe this statement to be true. And the final option for the answer to this question is, maybe, I haven't found it to be true, but I expect someone will say that this statement is true.
What's the question?
Fair enough. The question is, don't you hate it when games proclaim to offer freedom of choice for the player, but really you're just being sort of pushed into a certain way of playing?
What were the choices?
The choices are basically, yes, you think it's true. No, you don't at first, but later on you believe that it's true. Or maybe, yes, no, or maybe, basically, are the answers. But no matter what answer you give, basically, it's going to turn out to be true.
Do I hate it that they pretend to be free, but they're not?
Yeah.
But stuff like Assassin's Creed is fairly free. You can kind of play that however you want. Do you not?
But ultimately, you have to be the good guy. You have to side with the assassins. You don't have a choice. You can't go, I'll tell you what, I couldn't really be arsed with this. I think I'll join the Illuminati. They've got better suits.
Well, what about games that have, like, moral choices and stuff in?
Even things like that, even like Mass Effect, which is one of the famous ones for moral choices, you make those moral choices, but at the end of it, the moral choice is basically, do you save the world this way or do you save the world that way?
Well, is that not just a technical limitation, though?
I don't know. I think it would be possible for you to... It could be possible, although it might be shit, for you to go through a game making lots of moral choices which are bad, and then ultimately, at the end of the game, when you're just about to save the world and be the hero, you can just get caught by the police and locked up.
Well, what was I going to say? What game? Shadow Complex. Shadow Complex, there's a point in Shadow Complex where you can just go and get in your Jeep and drive off.
Is there?
And just leave the girl, and you get an achievement for it that's something like Facebook status set to single.
Oh, yeah, that sounds quite awesome. Does the game end?
Yeah, the game does end. I mean, what else would you just go home and, like, it's just you in the kitchen, like, when you becomes heavy rain.
Yeah.
You go and make an omelette or something.
Oh. Yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
That'd be weird.
I don't know. Sorry. I think, to answer his question, I think that's a necessary limitation on games. But, I think that he is also right. That a lot of games talk about freedom of choice, but essentially they are funneling.
Yeah,
all that choice leads to one point.
Well, what about, like, MMOs?
Oh, I don't know. I don't like MMOs. MMOs baffle me.
What about Eve? You can do literally whatever you want in Eve.
Is that a game or is it an experience? Are you rewarded just as much for being bad as you are for being good?
No, you'll reward you for being good at the game.
I don't know. It's all got a bit technical. I feel like I'm on a PAX panel. Stop asking me questions.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Next one. Any more questions?
No. Oh, yes, hold on. There is. Resistance 3, Uncharted 3, or Skyrim. If you had to choose one, which one would you buy?
Uncharted.
Oh, that's
I can't play two of those games, and I really don't want to play Skyrim.
Well, imagine that you had a PlayStation 3.
Oh, Uncharted. because I don't know anything about Resistance, really.
Trouble is, I do really want to play Skyrim, but Uncharted just for me. Just cause it's...
I don't have infinity hours to sink into Skyrim.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I think I of those games, I am really looking for. I don't really care about Resistance 3 at all because I didn't play the first two, and I played like a little bit of the first one and just didn't find it entertaining at all. Uncharted 3, I'm really looking forward to because I love those games, but Skyrim is huge, I think. That's the one that I'm most looking forward to in the next couple of months. So Skyrim for me.
It's like Blair sent me a thing, and then Blair sent me it was nice, it was very nice of him, and sent me a copy of Mass Effect.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh, this is really nice of you, Blair. I don't have like 40 hours to sink into this game.
Ah, you can do Mass Effect in like less than 10 hours.
Don't have that much time.
We'll do it over weeks.
The only game I have that much time for is Assassin's Creed. And that's because I go for Assassin's Creed and go, I must own every shop. And then I did. I owned the whole of Rome.
Like the Catholic Church.
Exactly like the Catholic Church.
Only with less small boys.
Yep.
Allegedly. No, not even allegedly. That's not even alleged anymore. They've admitted it.
Wait. Are you saying I allegedly had less small boys, or are you alleging that they had small boys?
No, I'm saying it's been alleged that you had fewer small boys in the Catholic Church.
It's only been alleged. It possibly I had more.
We have no firm evidence.
Apart from the body.
I'd like to make it clear I would never do that. That's sick and wrong. Yeah. I didn't really to make that clear, though, did I?
Not really. I think
no, because now it just sounds like you are actually curious.
Yeah. I think you're protesting too much.
I'm really not. Not even a little bit. I'll admit, if the Catholic Church had a thing for, say, supermodels in their early 20s, I'd be like, yes, on board with this.
No, I don't think they did.
No, irritatingly.
I think pretty much just the dogma and the small boys.
Ah, it's a shame. Why couldn't it have been supermodels?
Yeah, if the Catholic Church was mad crazy about cookies and whiskey, then I'd be
like,
all
hell that. Yes.
Yeah, if that's like... what you got when you were taking communion. If it was a glass of whiskey they gave you instead of a sip of wine, and they gave you one of those big, full-on, soft chocolate chip cookies.
Chocolate chip cookie, a cigar. Basically, you just want a gentleman's club.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've got this vision now of people going up to the altar. You know, when they bend down and they have to stick out their tongue and they put that little bit of bread on them.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's just going to be people walking around with massive cookies hanging off the end of their tongue.
Yeah.
I'm close big.
Yeah, that's the body of Christ.
How I imagine it.
It's a chocolate chip because he had syphilis.
How I imagine it, though.
It's all those prostitutes he hung around with.
What I'm seeing, though, is like it's more like a cafe situation or like a canteen. So you go up, you get your glass of wine, get your glass of whiskey, and then you can just go sit down in like a wingback chair, kind of relax for a bit, put your feet up.
The way God wants it.
If the Catholic Church was that, man, that'd be awesome. Yeah. How many followers would they have then?
I could be in for that. It'd probably be cheaper as well.
And people would be way willing to give money as well. They'd be like, oh, you give us money, it just funds like more whiskey. We're like, awesome.
Yeah, better whiskey.
Yeah, it's like the more you donate to the very good cause of the church, A, you might get into heaven if that's real. Who really cares? And B, you get better whiskey.
Yeah, sign me up. 10%. Tithe me.
Oh.
But instead, it's all oils and incense and praying.
Yeah.
Illusion.
Blimey, I'm looking at an article on that there, Engadget.
Okay.
And they're talking, they have their most commented articles bit. The touchpad going on sale for $99 had 14,000 comments.
Jesus.
Yep. And I think this number's wrong because it's the lowest one. And I just assume the number's wrong somehow. But if the number's accurate, their article on... it's sweepstakes. Engadget's Back to School Sweepstakes 2011 was commented on 41,000 times. But I think that number's wrong.
Jesus.
Or they've got a bug in their sorting algorithm, one of the two. Yes, Jesus indeed.
That's mental.
Yes, it is. Anyway, that's the podcast.
That would probably be the only opportunity you get to comment 41,000th.
Yep.
I wonder if people are still writing that.
I have been, as always, your host, Chris Liscombe. I have been joined, as per normal, by editor-in-chief of thesixaxis.com and managing director for the whole of Oscar Mike Media, Peter Chapman. You can get at twitter.com/ColossalBlue. I've also been joined, as per normal, by the lovely chap from ScreenDemon.com, Lewis Gaston. You can get at twitter.com/Lewis. All going so well, wasn't it? /Lewis Gaston, and you can get me, Lewis myself. Gaston. Oh, yeah, at twitter.com /_Lewis Gaston. So I can't believe I got that wrong.
You're doing a crap job with that.
Who said it was me?
What? Who said it? What do you mean, who said it was you? I looked back at when I finally went on Twitter, like Wednesday, for the first time over the weekend. There was you going to Colossal Blue, to Peter. No, you mean _Lewis Gaston.
Well, yeah, it's because I found the real account. I finally found your real account.
It had nothing to do with the fact that you were editing the podcast at the time and had just got to that part of the show.
No.
Just tracked you down.
I finally found your real account. I'm sorry.
And like I said to you yesterday,
I'm sorry.
You've only done 4 tweets, none of them of which are insulting, rude, or have too many swear words in. And only 3 people follow you.
I'm sorry. I've got like 10 now. I'm sorry I've been following the fake account for so long.
With all those pictures.
Mm.
Fine, go and speak to him.
So follow twitter.com/_Lewis Gaston. jokes. And you get me
not even a good one.
You can get me at twitter.com/HowlPro.
Actually, you can get him at twitter.com/cunt.
Let's see. twitter.com/cunt. Just loading.
I wonder if they allow that.
Cunt is someone. KYUHYUN. Who has 7,821 tweets and 267 followers.
Okay.
But I think they're like Japanese. So they probably don't know what cunt means.
Or maybe it just means something different.
Yeah, maybe it means lovely fellow or something. Don't know. This has been episode 34 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. Thank you all for listening. Goodbye. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Like a really unenthusiastic bye, Lewis. That was like a teenager being dragged to the shops. Goodbye.
How the fuck do you want me to say goodbye?
Be upbeat.
But it's sad.
Bye.
Goodbye is a sad thing.
Unless you're Merlin, who lived his whole life backwards.
Merlin
lived his whole life backwards, therefore goodbyes were joyous, but first hellos were terrible.
They get Scottish people say melon. Sounds like they're saying Merlin.
I will. I'll get Blair to do it at Eurogamer.
I don't know if I'll be able to make Eurogamer.
After all that hassle trying to find a house that was close enough to walk to the venue so you didn't have to go on the tube because it's basically...
Or in a cab.
I didn't realise you were doing that.
A tunnel filled with other people's farts.
I didn't realise you were doing that.